Robert turned and ran past the furnace, feeling the heat of it burning in his face, neck and hands. A big slab of compacted metal slammed into the cave wall just a few feet before him. Sparks and splinters of stone sprayed in all directions, and he felt something nick his forehead.
"You dare! You dare enter my hall, machine-lover filth!"
Another crashing noise, but further back for some reason. Then there was a whirring noise descending from above. It was the drone, Reski Amantis, looking even more retro than before.
"I can see you're having lots of fun," it said. "Is that wood panelling on your upper casing? Most distinguished." "It's not what you would call robust. Look, Robert Horst, I know who you've been following, and you need to catch up with them. When I cause the diversion, be ready to run."
"Wait, what do you mean by them?" Too late. The drone was already aloft and flying over to buzz around the red giant's head. With deafening roars and hammer blows ringing in his ears, Robert scrambled past the furnace and made a dash for a low tunnel at the back of the cave. He slipped on loose gravel and almost stumbled, but managed to keep his feet. Glancing back, he saw the giant holding the drone in one hand and bellowing incoherently at it for several seconds before slamming it down onto the black slab and hoisting that hammer up high. Robert turned away and hurried off along the curving tunnel, wincing as he heard the repeated impacts. Yet this was the metaquantal thoughtscape of the Godhead. And since his own subconsciousness was determined to have Reski Amantis as a companion, it was very likely that the drone would show up again. The tunnel was strewn with pebbles and grit, and lit by strange vein-like growths that erupted from the walls every 10 paces or so, giving off an amber glow. The curve tightened into an upward spiral, and the tunnel floor began to look clean, swept, and surfaced in some dimpled plastic material. The glowing veins became chevron-shaped light sources, pointing in the direction he was going, which made him smile. At last, he came to a large triangular entrance with double doors, which smoothly swung upwards when he approached. As he walked through, he was met by a tall woman in a dark trouser suit and carrying a slim data pad. She had short black hair and pretty features, offset by a formal, somewhat impassive air.
"Thank you for coming, Ambassador," she said with a slight Scottish accent. "Now that you're here, we will shortly bring in the guests. If you follow me, I'll introduce you to the observers."
Robert smiled and nodded, feeling almost used to the incongruities being presented by the Godhead subconscious.
"But is this merely an elaborate stage for me to caper across, or some form of challenge or test?"
Through a pale blue lobby, he was led into a high-ceilinged auditorium, emerging from a side door. To the left was a curved bank of empty seating, and on the right was an elevated platform with a cluster of low, easy chairs, two of which were occupied. Behind the platform, a row of tall windows looked out on an astonishing sight, what appeared to be towers, blocks, domed gardens and covered walkways of a city in the sky. Architectural styles seemed to derive from the old, sleek, mirrored technocratia school, but its application to an airborne metropolis was breathtaking.